This is Deanna Pidcock interviewing Jonathan McGann at 4 p.m. on March 2, 1996. The subject of this interview is the Gulf War. Okay. My first question would be, when were you born?
I was born on 21 September 1969 in Lexington, Virginia. It's a small town north of Roanoke, Virginia. It's halfway between Roanoke, Virginia and Washington, D.C. Population was probably about 30,000 at the time.
All right. What made you decide to be in the military? Was there any, like, involvement or any anything as a child that you knew growing up that you wanted to be in the military?
Well, I was always fascinated in the Marine Corps, just of the dress blues that they wore. The uniforms look good, and that's what attracts most people to the Marine Corps. My grandfather was in the Navy in World War I and World War II, so it was his decision that I joined the Marine Corps. Not really his decision, it was my decision, but it was his wishes that I joined the Marine Corps due to the fact that I had an uncle that was in the Marine Corps in the Vietnam War. And I had a cousin that was in the Marine Corps. He was only in the Marine Corps for a few years because he got hurt, and for medical reasons he was put out of the military. So my whole life, I've always wanted to be a Marine since I was probably about 8 or 9 years old, just due to the fact that the uniform of the Marine Corps was outstanding and they looked good. So that was the first attraction that I had towards the military.
How old were you when you joined the military?
I joined the military in 1988. After graduating high school, I was 18 years old. And it was a long road to join the military. I mean, it's not like you can walk into the recruiter's office and the next day you know you're putting on a uniform, you're a Marine or you're a soldier or you're a sailor or an airman. Basically, have to go through a lot of in-process, and you have to take tests to see how intelligent you are, physical capabilities that you can do. They tear your body apart to make sure there's nothing physically wrong with you. So it's just not like you can walk in and the next day be wearing a uniform. And it takes a lot. It takes a lot to become a professional soldier.
So do you think it's easier now or harder to become to be in the military? You know how long time ago?
Well, it's becoming harder as time goes along. The education requirements are going up. Used to, the Marine Corps would accept you if you had a GED. Now, the only couple of branches of services that will accept you with a GED is the Army and Air Force. Basically, you have to really pump it and stay in the school books and study while you're in high school, because if you don't study while you're in high school and get good SAT scores, and then take your ASVAB test, it's not worth it. They're not going to take you for a GED. Also, you got to make sure you keep a clean record. If you get in trouble while you're in high school as a teenager, or you do things, you steal a car or something like that, or get busted for drunken driving, or have a lot of speeding tickets, you're not going to be able to join the military because they're not going to want somebody that's going to be a troublemaker.
Mm-hmm. What do you do in the military?
Right now, I am a military police instructor. I've been instructing, basically teaching the young privates that join the military, mm-hmm. Military police skills on how to become a police officer in the military. And I've been doing that for 2 years now, I'd say. I've been in the military for 8 years, and my job in the military has been a military policeman the whole time. So it's a pretty good job. It's just like being a police officer out on the road. You deal with the same subjects and the same people that a civilian police officer would deal with. Criminals, speeders, and domestic disturbances, and things such as those.
Being a military policeman, I mean, what made you decide in order to be that exact thing?
Okay, it's a long, long story. It all started back in 1971. That's as far back as I can remember that my stepfather which is now in prison for a felony of drug trafficking. I can remember back since 1971 when he first began selling drugs, as far back as I can remember. I was just a few years old, so I can remember back that far. He used to deal in marijuana, and he would sell it to the local people. We lived in a city called Gate City, Virginia, which is in the southwest Virginia part of Virginia, right before you get to Tennessee. He had begun dealing marijuana. Then we moved a lot. We moved from Virginia to Missouri. So the cops would stay on his tail, so we moved from Missouri to back to Virginia. We moved to Abilene, Virginia then. And from there, we moved to Florida. We lived in Florida for a couple of years where my father teamed up, my stepfather teamed up with some Colombians that dealt in the cocaine and crack and heroin type drugs. And he began dealing those type drugs for a few years. In the early 80s, we moved back to Virginia, and they had purchased a bar, and they had been selling drugs from within the bar. My mother was involved in it also, not by choice. She was afraid of my dad because of the type of person he was. He knew many people and knew ways to hurt people. So he was the main reason I stayed away from drugs and alcohol. He told me that if I ever touched him, that he would, do bad things to me. So I respect the man and the fact that he was able to keep me and my brothers and sisters off of the narcotics and the alcohol that we didn't need anyway. So I respect the man for that point. But he was doing something illegal. And when I was 16 years old, he was high on cocaine one time. And he decided he was going to strike me. So I felt at that point right there, it was best for me to leave home. So I ran away from home at the age of 16 and lived on my own for a couple of years. I lived with an uncle, matter of fact, and a sister. And I decided to join the military because that would be the best route for me, due to the fact that I didn't have money to get myself started in any type of business or any jobs lined up. I really didn't major in nothing in high school that would put me out into the workforce as a qualified personnel at someone who wanted to work for them. So I decided I'd just join the military and become a military policeman. So I decided to join the military and become a military policeman due to the fact that he was on one side of the crime wave and I would be on the other side. I wanted to do just the opposite of what he has done out of his life. He has spent multiple terms in prison for robbery and dealing of the narcotics that he was dealing in. So I decided that for me, I would like to be a police officer. That's a dream, to be a police officer besides being a Marine. So the reason I joined the Marine Corps to become a police officer is because in the state of Virginia, you have to be 21 years old to carry a gun as a police officer. So I was only 18 when I joined the military, so that left 3 years. So I joined the military, become a military policeman to get the foot in the door of the police field and get myself working towards becoming a police officer. And I decided that the Marine Corps was for me. I mean, I decided to stay in once it came time for me to reenlist, and I chose to stay in the military. Now, the subject of the Gulf War, I'll go ahead and hit it on my father right now. I'll go ahead and combine the two. My stepfather, when I went to the Gulf War, I told him I didn't want to go, and he had called me a few choice words, called me a coward, stuff as that. So my mom made a promise. She kicked him out of the house, made a promise to me that once I came back from the Gulf War safe and sound, that we would turn him in for drug trafficking. because we had enough evidence on the man to turn him in. We knew everybody he had dealt with over the years. So when I returned from the Gulf War, I had to go in front of a grand jury and testify against my stepfather for dealing drugs, which was not hard for me because the whole time I was growing up, the man was very abusive to me, and I wasn't one of the picture-perfect children that he wanted to have. So it was not that hard for me to turn against a man that had treated me as a outcast or a black sheep my whole life. So I just decided it would be best for me and my mother, because he was no longer paying child support for the two children that were 100% truly his, besides being stepchildren. So once I came back, I went to the grand jury, testified, and it took about a year to get him arrested. Once they had got enough evidence on him and arrested enough small people that he had dealt with that could point him out as the main drug dealer. So that's basically the reason I want to become a police officer, to be on the opposite side of the field than what he was playing on.
Do you think drugs now are worse or about the same as a couple years ago or when you started?
Well, let me put it this way. I haven't been around the drug scene since, I've never done drugs, but I haven't been around a drug scene since I actually stepped away from my stepfather when I was 16 years old, which was 86.
Mm-hmm.
So I really can't tell you about drugs, but I know there is a higher demand for drugs right now than there was before, especially with crack and cocaine, such as these. People are doing drugs more now. People do drugs that you wouldn't even think do drugs, such as lawyers and doctors and things like that. I've seen my stepfather sell to many type people. I've even seen him sell to a police officer before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, totally going off the subject. Compared to being treated bad by your father, I mean, was the military treat you good, pretty much, or?
The military treats you good. I mean, they give you a lot of benefits and stuff like that, but Let's start out with the seed of things, joining the military. All right, like I said before, you take a test. They score you and see what jobs would be good for you for your intelligence level and your physical capabilities. Once we go to boot camp, I went to boot camp at Parris Island, South Carolina in 1988, in August of 1988. Matter of fact, I can remember the day, August 10th, 1988. Seems like forever ago, but it hasn't really been that long. I joined and flew from Knoxville, Tennessee via plane to Charleston, South Carolina, where once I got off the plane, I didn't know it, but they had given me this special clip type of paper I was supposed to carry, and I was identified by that piece of paper by the military policeman at the airport in Charleston, South Carolina, and I knew right then and there that the Marine Corps was going to be very tough and it's going to be a hard road to walk on. They transported us by bus at nighttime at about 2 o'clock in the morning onto Parris Island, South Carolina, where I was indoctrinated into the Marine Corps. Boot camp was really hard. They begin off by you stay up for like the first 2 days just filling out paperwork and getting your head shaved, and they're giving you the uniform items that you need. And, in processing is pretty rough. It's hard to get used to it. It's just not something anybody can jump into. Boot camp for the Marine Corps is 13 weeks long. That's 13 long weeks. 13 weeks with no alcohol, no soda, no telephones, no TV, no cigarettes, no candy. They control when you go to the bathroom. They control when you talk. They control when you sleep. They control what you do 24 hours a day. They have you plan a time schedule planned 24 hours a day for 13 weeks. Now, if you can do that for 13 weeks, you can just about do anything. One thing the Marine Corps does is break you down and make you get rid of all things that you've ever learned in the past. I mean, they almost take you to the point where they make you crazy, because they push you to the limit on everything, and then they rebuild you back to what they want. They make you a groomed Marine. I mean, they make you what they want you to be. And after boot camp, you still have to go through another 4 weeks of warrior training type thing, where you go and you hump 28 miles a day. That means you put on boots and got an 85-pound pack on your back, and you march day in and day out, and you assault, and you learn the tactics of the Marine Corps. Then once you leave there, you still have to go to your school, which is your MOS training, military occupational skills training. You go to that. And for the Marines, military policemen, we go to Fort McClellan, Alabama, which is where I'm an instructor at now. I had went to the military police school, which is in San Antonio, Texas, which is a party town. So I definitely had a good time at military police school. They teach you everything that you need to know about being a military policeman.